With the first pick of the 2024 NFL Draft, Best Bets, you are selecting a Stone Cold Lock. What is up, football fans? I am your host, the DJ and Doc, a.k.a. Sebastian Fearon here. And as always, our goal is to make you money over here at IDP Plus Bets. This is a nice special edition, an NFL Draft edition. We got the draft just a week away. Can you smell that, y'all? Football is here. We are finally getting close to the season. Nobody told me it's April. I don't give a damn. There's still NFL and we can still make money off of it. So we're talking about it. What is up, y'all? Oh man, I'm stoked for the NFL to be back, to just be talking players, talking prospects. It has been a lot of fun. I've already started talking NFL guys currently in the NFL, kicked off the NFL injuries episodes in that kind of series 3 weeks ago. We've made it through three. We're doing it by division, right? Talking all the major big injuries, offense, defense, offensive, defensive line, kicker, well, not really kickers, but you know, we're talking all areas of football. If it's a big injury, Anthony Richardson, Jeffrey Simmons, you know, Nick Chubb, all of that. We are talking that, breaking it down division. Make sure you check that out if you haven't already. That's NFL injuries. We're talking UFL betting, games that are actually going now. We're talking sports betting. And, of course, we're talking the NFL draft. And this is going to be a fun episode today. Before we get into the NFL draft here, your 2024 NFL draft, which will be taking place in the city of Detroit, let's set some ground rules here. So let's talk about betting the NFL draft. Now, I will absolutely be betting the NFL draft. Anything I give out, I will be putting my own money on, because I think people that give out picks and don't actually put their own money on it is a damn shame. First of all, it's fake. I mean, you're basically just screaming to the air with no stake in the game. Like, do you really believe in what the fuck you're saying if you don't put your money where your mouth is? Sorry for cursing. Whiskey's flowing tonight. But so I will absolutely be betting. However, I will not be betting like normal unit size, you know, NFL Sunday unit size bets on this game. Again, whatever your unit size is, respect your unit size. Do what you do. We don't need to compare, whip it out and compare right now. But this is just to say what we're doing is we're essentially betting on the minds of a bunch of rich old dudes. Mostly rich old white dudes, right? So, like, just think about that. Like, do you just think about, like, what the fuck is Jerry Jones thinking about right now? Like, dude, man, that's a dangerous game. Like, getting inside the head of Jerry Jones, that might be a scary one. So, the caveat is, hey, and even the books have no idea what the fuck's going on. Like, the odds are switching every day. This is a dangerous game. It's fun. It is a fun time because you can absolutely take advantage of some markets, or, you know, if you see a board going the right way, you can definitely make money for the NFL draft. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we're not actually betting on sports right now. We're betting on the decisions of individuals who are in power. So it's a bit of a riskier game. We don't have as much to go off of. So just the caveat before, I will not be betting full unit sizes on them. I will be betting real money on each of the picks I'm giving out, but that's why I'm confident in them. That's why I like them. But again, it's not a real NFL, it's not an NFL game. That's all I'm saying is, you know, I feel much more confident when I give out picks on real games. However, it's Jeff. Let's have some fun. Let's win some money. So just want to start with that caveat there. But good example, Drake May, right? I gave out a pick on a show a couple days ago for him to be the number two pick at plus 215 is where I grabbed it at. Right now, currently, Thursday night, Friday, early Friday morning, that price is now minus 115. He's the co-favorite with Jaden Daniels. There's been no real, like, information has came out. Like, I don't know what the books know or think they know. Like, I just don't think anybody knows. I think people are just following the money. I know Adam Schefter came out and said something that, like, Jaden Daniels was essentially a lock to the Commanders. You know, he said that a couple days ago. And then now these odds have gone crazy for whatever the hell reason. Like, no one even knows, right? Even sports books, if you compare, you know, cross sports books, you can find some huge differences. So good advice there is, hey, if you're really confident on a pick, go ahead and shop around. right? That might not be the best price. Make sure you shop around, especially, you know, definitely in a legal gambling state, you have those options. So make sure you're shopping around for your books there. But with the price I gave him out 2 days ago, Drake May pick number two plus 215, I like minus 115. I can't say I like as much, right? So that was more an example to show you just how chaotic these things can be. You know, I do think that the Commanders ultimately will go May, but I liked it a lot better at plus 215 than trying to lay, you know, and again, it's not a lot of juice, but minus 115. I think, yeah, I essentially my thought process with giving it out before was it's a lot more like a coin flip. So if you're going to give me 2-1 odds, I'm going to take the 2-1 odds. Now, who knows? But again, look tomorrow. It might be changed. And especially next week when, as it's actually draft week, that shit's probably for sure going to be changed, right? All right. So let's get into ones that I'm actually very confident on. We're going to start with pick number six, which as it stands right now on the board, that is my New York Football Giants have the number six pick in the NFL draft. And with the number six pick, the New York Football Giants will be taking at plus 145 wide receiver out of LSU, Malik Nabers. Now, he is the favorite at this pick. Whether it's the Giants or whether shit pops off and it's not the Giants, but I do not think he's going to fall more than six. Malik Nabers is a stud wide receiver. I think that we go quarterbacks, you know, 1, 2, 3. I think you got Marvin Harrison at 4. And I think no one knows what the fuck the Chargers are going to do. That is really where the draft is going to get real crazy. Whether the Vikings come in and get JJ McCarthy or whether they take a offensive lineman, I do not think they're going to take a wide receiver. So give me Nabers. I think he's going to be the best wide receiver. Jeez, if anything, man, the Giants need a lot, but they need playmakers. They really do. I even if JJ McCarthy's there, man, I hope we do not take JJ McCarthy. Like, we have a JJ McCarthy at home. We literally just did this a couple years ago with the number six picks. We took Daniel Jones. We don't need like a sneaky, athletic, tall, lanky white dude who just like, no, man, we have that. We do not need that. So give me Malik Nabers. And, you know, I think it's between him and Odunze. Personally, I like Odunze better as a wide receiver. However, based on who the Giants like to draft, you look at Wandell Robinson, you looked at Jalen Hyatt. They have a, you know, they really like speed and ability to make moves in space. Nabers is that guy as opposed to Odunze, who's a bit of the bigger guy and makes contested catches. People argue that's because he's slower, but, you know, Nabers is definitely the one that's going to get you separation. It has that top end speed to take off the top of the defense or take a screen pass and go 80 yards. And I think, you know, Brian Daboll and that offense, that's what they like. Again, look at Wandell Robinson, look at Jalen Hyatt, take the top off defenses. That is what they like. So you're going to go Malik Nabers, pick number six, plus 145 there for the first official bet. Bet number two, we're moving down the board a little bit. Two more picks. We are going to go to Mr. Dallas Turner. The Atlanta Falcons have the number eight pick. Now, it's pretty interesting. They're pretty heavy favorites to take an edge rusher or defensive lineman. It looks like it's a two-headed race between Alabama edge rusher Dallas Turner and UCLA edge rusher Laiatu Latu. I apologize if I said that wrong. I probably did. But it's a two-way race. And what's interesting is why you want to shop around is Dallas Turner is minus 135 favorite to be the first defensive player off the board. I think it is very, very, very unlikely that the first seven picks, anyone in the first seven picks goes defense, right? I think it goes a bunch of quarterbacks, a couple wide receivers, and offensive linemen. Now, I like both of these prospects. However, Dallas Turner is pretty unanimously the number one guy, right? He's the favorite to be taken first. So in my opinion, you know, Atlanta is going to be the team that first goes defense. They need defensive help. They did some things on the offensive side of the ball. They look better there. They need an edge rusher. They need to get some pressure. You know, I think that there's going to be a little bit East Coast Alabama biased as far as, hey, Dallas Turner spent a lot of time with Will Anderson. We saw how well Will Anderson played as a rookie. You know, he looks to him as a mentor. I think this is a good opportunity to go ahead and grab a 2-1, a plus 200 there for Dallas Turner at pick number 8. Again, it's the same price as Latu. So both him and Latu are plus 200. But not only are the books telling us, but the evaluators are saying that Dallas Turner is the best edge rusher full package. Right now, let's talk about Latu Latu really quickly, because if you are not aware of this guy, of his story, what he went through, let me be the first to tell you. Again, for those that don't know, I'm a physical therapist by trade. I'm in the United States Army, but I'm a physical therapist by trade. That's what I do. I work with injuries, rehab, so I have a unique appreciation for them. Man, this guy, he went through a lot, right? This is just kind of one of those feel-good stories that, fucking, I'm going to share. So, Latu Latu, back in 2020, around there, it was his sophomore year, going into sophomore year offseason, he started his career at the University of Washington, played his freshman year, played fairly well for a freshman. Going into the sophomore year, he injured his neck. He had a neck injury. He had symptoms that were lingering. He had some nerve symptoms that were lingering, and they wind up deciding to go the surgical route, which pretty big deal for the spine, as you could probably imagine, right? Obviously, with any surgery, there's risk, but especially when you do a spinal surgery, cervical spine, a lot of nerves that run through there. It's not something you want to do willy-nilly, right? So that was the decision. And they fused his cervical fusion, which essentially just means that you take at least two, could be more, typically two vertebrae of the spine, and you fuse them together, right? You make them one piece, you make them a little less mobile, but you increase stability. Okay. So he had that surgery, and the University of Washington doctors told him, they said, you'll never play football again. He was pretty much forced to medically retire. 19, 20 years old, guy is a high prospect, played his freshman year, was looking to go to sophomore year. Like, all he knows is football. Now he's told he's never going to be able to play football again. At that time, Latu decided, no, that's not the fate I'm going to accept. I understand the odds, but he just kept persevering and kept working and kept rehabbing. 2+ years later, right? I think he said, somewhere close to almost 60 months or something like that, something crazy, but for sure, 2+ years later, almost 3 years later, he finally was able to make a return to football. Now, this wasn't even like, oh, he was welcomed back with open arms. Like, oh yeah, University of Washington said, yeah, come back. No, he tried to go back to the University of Washington 2 years later, 2+ years later. He even, the doctors wouldn't clear him. They said, nope, no way, too big a risk. You are not playing. So he went to one of the top surgeons. I believe it's Dr. Richards or something. He's a back and he's a spine guy, back and cervical. But he kind of looked at his x-rays, looked at his images, and he said, hey, I think you can play. I've seen similar guys play through this, a la Daniil Hunter, a la Peyton Manning. He said, he cleared him, basically. So again, Washington wouldn't let him play, so he transferred to UCLA, and boom, look what happened. Last 2 years, absolutely tore it up. He won the best defensive lineman and best edge rusher award for the year, the Lombardi and the Hawkins, I believe is what it's called. But anyway, what a story of resilience, perseverance, man. Like, to be told you are going to never play the game you love ever again, your life is changing, and you just do not accept it. You refuse to accept it. You get up every day, you work your ass off to get back to where you want to be, and now he's going to be, a first-round pick in the NFL draft. So, just a nice reminder, sometimes life sucks. Sometimes life's unfair. Sometimes we get dealt a shitty hand. But you can control it, right? You have some control. Obviously, case by case, not all injuries are the same, yada, yada, yada. But this is just a great example of a guy, a person, an individual, an athlete that just, didn't accept no. He said, I feel I can still play football at a high level. I can get back, and by damn, if it's going to take me 2 years, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be one of the best edge rushers in the game. Now, all that being said, I am taking Dallas Turner to be drafted at number 8 ahead of him. But again, I'm not the one evaluating him. I'm going off what I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to do. All right, let's get back to it, folks. Next bet up, we have bet number 3. of five. Yep, bet number three of five. We've got a guy who I think will not make it outside of the top 10. I am taking Georgia tight end Brock Bowers to be taken as a top 10 pick at plus 120. Now, here's my reasoning. Have you seen the guy play? He's an absolute stud. I mean, he's a unicorn. As a University of Florida Gators fan, I've seen this guy play way too much. I'd never want to see him again. But he's a stud. Like, he can do it all. He moves so well. And I know what you're saying, but Doc, isn't he, he's got some injury concerns, right? He's, you know, he kind of had a, it was in, he was out. I remember him being out, yada, yada. Yes, yes. He had a high ankle sprain, right? So high ankle refers to the ligaments in between your fibula and your tibia, these two lower leg bones. It's above your ankle. Yes, it can be a damaging injury. It takes several weeks, but he did get a tightrope surgery, which helps to speed up that process, increase the stability in there. He was able to return 3 weeks later. No, he was not 100%, but at this point, he's fully recovered, right? No injury concern as far as the high ankle. No real injury concerns there. He should be good to go. So I do not think he makes it past 10. Clearly, with the bet there, I think the Jets do take him. Should the Jets take him? No, absolutely not. They should take an offensive lineman. Now, on paper, the Jets got exceedingly better, right? They got Tyron Smith. Was it Morgan Moses? They got, you know, two tackles. They also got Mike Williams. Now, the three big players they picked up on offense and free agency all have a very extensive history of being injured. So, do would I, if I'm a Jets fan, am I super excited? Sure. But I'm very, very, very cautious about that, because by week six, this team could look completely different. However, that is not typically how management, that's not how management is thinking. If their management, you know, if the team felt good enough about these players to pay them all this money, they obviously feel they're going to be healthy. So they, in their mind, think that they solved the problem. Now, again, I think the best thing for them to do is go offensive line. However, that's not sexy. You know who doesn't want that? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want that. He's coming back off an Achilles tear. Yes, he'll be ready for the start of the season. He wants a unicorn to add to that offense. Think about, you've got Mike Williams, you've got Garrett Wilson, you've got Breece Hall, Aaron Rodgers, and Brock Bowers. That's a pretty damn nice starting offense right there. So, I mean, on paper, it looks good. I think that's where the Jets go. Give me Brock Bowers, top 10 pick at plus 120 there. All right, moving along. We are going to go to a little bit of an interesting market here. First running back drafted. Now, this is pretty much a two-way race based on the odds. And I think that's, you know, based on reality as well. But I'm going to go with the little bit of an underdog. The guy who was not the underdog up until like this week, he was the favorite. Now he's the underdog. And I'm going to go with Florida State Seaman Holes. Yes, I said Seaman Holes. Go Gators, baby. I'm not talking nice about Florida State. But I will be taking FSU running back Trey Benson to be the first running back drafted at plus 180. Now, do I think Trey Benson is a good running back? Yes. Has he been consistent the past 2 years and shown that he can do it consistently? Yes. Great. Okay. So that's it. He's good running back, right? It's more of a fade of Jonathan Brooks. Jonathan Brooks is the other guy who's now the favorite at plus 120. I don't understand how this is really a conversation. So let's think about this. Jonathan Brooks. Okay. Did he look like the best wide receiver when healthy? Yeah. Or excuse me, the best running back this year when healthy? Yes, he did. However, does anyone know how many significant games has Jonathan Brooks played in his career, his college career? The answer is 10. He started 10 games this season. The first two seasons, he did not have over 200 yards in the first 2 years. Right? In each year, he didn't crack 200 yards. Yes, I get it. You're behind Bijan Robinson, blah, 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 blah. If you're a good enough player, you're going to get some burn in the first 2 years, right? Also, he tore his ACL. Yeah, he tore his ACL on November 11th. That's pretty late in the year, guys. I don't know what, like, everyone is just going to assume. Yes, I understand. ACLs, All right, let's look here. First of all, my bad on the graphics. We're going Trey Benson. Jonathan Brooks, that is where he tore his ACL. Your ACL, your anterior cruciate ligament, that is one of the major stabilizing ligaments of the knee. It prevents your tibia from translating forward onto the femur. Basically, it prevents the lower leg bone from moving forward. It helps with stability in the knee. When it is torn, in his case, fully torn, it requires surgery. No amount of physical therapy is going to fix that. People can live without an ACL, can function, but typically not professional athletes. Hines Ward played in a Super Bowl, but he was at the end of his career. He kind of knew, you know, he didn't need it. Anyway, so yeah, he had surgery. Typically a 10 to 12 month recovery timeline. Now, 10 months is on the early side, right? He has exactly 10 months until week one of the season. Most guys don't make it back and for damn sure are not fully back by 10 months. Okay. So, you know, the people say 9 to 12, but there's a lot of research that says if you return before 9 or around like close to that 9 mark, there's a significant re-injury risk. So I typically say, you know, expected return to play, you know, 10 to 12 months, right? So research has shown pretty consistently there's a performance dip year one after an ACL tear. Now, I understand. Adrian Peterson, unicorn. Breece Hall. Also looked pretty good. Not common, right? You also have a rookie who he's going to miss time in camp. He's not going to be 100%, so he's not going to get all the reps. He is only going to be at that 10-month mark. It also, research has shown, it can take up to 2 years for athletes to get their normal movement back. 2 years, okay? I'm not expecting a ton from Jonathan Brooks this season. Maybe by week 8. You know, talk to me halfway through the season. Okay, maybe if he winds up in the right situation. But how are you spending potentially? Now, I don't know if either of these guys go first round. This is just first to be drafted. But how are you spending, you know, whether it's a late first round, early second round, somewhere up there, a first two round pick on a running back who's played 10 significant games and is coming off a major knee injury over a guy who's been consistent without health concerns? It makes no sense to me. So maybe I'm just thinking about it too medically, but for me, this is a no-brainer. Give me Trey Benson, first running back drafted at plus 180. Again, a fade of Jonathan Brooks. All right, folks, last one for the draft and for your fifth and final best bet for your NFL draft. I am selecting Mr. Cooper DeJean, Mr. White Lightning, to be the third cornerback selected. The third cornerback. That is not number one, not number two, but the third quarterback selected. All right. So Cooper DeJean, electric, absolutely electric player. About the only thing on the University of Iowa Hawkeyes football team that keeps you awake during the game, other than the punter. Punter's Cole Taylor, something Taylor, whatever. That guy's pretty good. That guy's pretty damn good. But, man, Cooper DeJean just does it all, right? So obviously he's not only a great cover guy, great cornerback, but he also has the return abilities, right? No matter what referees may or may want to say when he's apparently calling a fair catch, where he's definitely not. But this guy is absolutely electric. In the return game, he is a ball hawk. And when he gets the ball in his hands, as Gus Johnson would say, watch out, because that man can fly. So I think one and two, you know, the kid out of Toledo, Quentin Mitchell, he's pretty unanimously number one. And right behind him is Terrion Arnold from Alabama. They're one and two, kind of neck and neck there. And then there's a little bit of a separation between the next class. Really, I think who you're going up against here is Nate Wiggins from Clemson and potentially Kool-Aid McKinstry. But Kool-Aid's really kind of dropped off a little bit. And Nate Wiggins, he hurt his hamstring at the combine, which is a little bit concerning because you're a cornerback, you gotta be able to run, right? I think Cooper DeJean is an all around better player. Now, I know what you're saying. Now, you know, you just talked about Wiggins and injury, but didn't Cooper DeJean, wasn't he out the past couple weeks or the last few weeks because of injury? Yes, you are correct. He fractured his fibula, eventually, you know, that small bone on the outside of your lower leg. He had a break in it, and that was in November. However, the recovery timeline, expected recovery timeline for this is only 3 to 4 months. So he's fully back. he's so fully back that he just absolutely crushed it at his pro day. So there is really no injury concerns going forward. When you come talk about something like a a fibular fracture, really any type of fracture, the biggest thing is healing time, right? The biggest thing for healing is time. It's not like really a muscle or a ligament where you got to do a ton of strengthening. It's more of a case where you just have to allow that bone time to recover, and then you slowly but surely progress up and down as far as you're adding levels of stress, bone response to stress, and the more hard things you do, the stronger your bone gets, right? So, yeah, at this point, Cooper DeJean, he showed it at his pro day. He's good to go. He's an all-around great athlete. I love him at this price at plus 140. I really don't even think it's close. I think he's the third best cornerback, and I think teams realize, like, not only are you getting a stud corner, you're also getting a solid return man. Whether they want to throw him back there or not, but due to injury risk, that's obviously up to the team's decision. But I think that Cooper DeJean, all-around better player, and gives you more, you know, at a better price there. So that's your draft right there. If you draft those five bets, we're going to the bank, man. We might not make quite as much as these rookies are about to make and about to change their lives, which is very awesome to them. Shout out to them achieving their dreams. But we could cash in a little bit. You know, hey, they make some money, we make some money. At the end of the day, as long as the Vegas and the sports books aren't taking our money, we're good. All right, we're good. So quick recap of all the bets here. So we talked about pick number 6, Malik Nabers at plus 145. We talked about pick 8 with pick number 8, Dallas Turner at plus 200. Brock Bowers, top 10 pick at plus 120. Trey Benson to be the first running back drafted at plus 180. And the third cornerback, 1, 2, 3, third cornerback selected to be Cooper DeJean at plus 140. And then a little caveat on the Drake May thing, a little note again. I like him at, you know, when it's closer to 2-to-1 odds, but now that it's at that minus 115, probably a stay away, because it really does seem truly like a coin flip, even though I do think the Commanders ultimately take Drake May. All right, folks, that's all she wrote. I can't wait for the draft. That just means football is this much closer. Again, if you're itching for more football talk, I'm breaking down all the major injuries of each division. I will have the next episode out start next week. It's going to be the AFC West. AFC West. Yep. So we did the AFC North. We did the AFC East. We did the AFC South. And it's going to be AFC West this next week. And then we're going to head into the NFC. Going to get all 8 divisions done there. If you want some games that you can actually bet on and watch, United Football League, just dropping a podcast for week 4. That's coming out. That should be out by the time this is out. So if you're hearing this and you want some action on something for this weekend, come join me over there. We can make some money in the UFL. And if you're like, hey, I don't really sports gamble yet, or I'm new and I kind of like have some questions and I don't want to jump into it, because you don't jump into something, you don't waste money on something that you don't know what you're talking about. I have a sports betting 101 series where I basically teach you step-by-step kind of the basics, right? The biggest thing that separates an amateur from a pro bettor, and really a bettor who can make money and a bettor who loses money, is they understand and master the basics. Our odds are stacked against us. There's a reason Vegas looks like Vegas. It was not through charity and handouts. It was on the backs of people like you and me. They take our hard-earned money, right? We have to equip ourselves with the tools needed for success. And that's what I'm doing over at Sports Betting 101. But other than that, folks, I hope you enjoyed this NFL Draft 2024 NFL Draft Bets edition. And you know what they say, a lock a day keeps the bookie away. All right, folks, Doc out of here.